Hi, my name is Brendan Malone and you're listening to The Dispatches, the podcast that strives to cut through all the noise in order to challenge the popular narratives of the day with some good old-fashioned contrarian thinking. You might not always agree, but at least you'll be taking a deeper look at the world around you. Hi everybody, welcome along to another episode of the Dispatches podcast. My name is Brendan Malone. It is great to be back with you again. Today's topic of conversation, future and fertility, is DOA, that's dead on arrival, at the DNC. That's the Democratic National Convention. Before we get into that though, don't forget, if you want to get an episode of the Dispatches podcast every single day of the week, that's Monday through Friday, then go to patreon.com/leftfootmedia. The link is in today's show notes. And become a $5 monthly patron. If you do, you will get a dose of Dispatches commentary every single day of the week, Monday through Friday. That's patreon.com/leftfootmedia. The link is in today's show notes. And a huge thank you to all of our patrons. It's thanks to you that episodes like this are made possible. Alrighty, let's jump into today's topic of conversation. You may or may not have heard the news, but a couple of days ago at the DNC, which is being held right now, the Democratic National Convention, that's the convention of the Democratic Party in America, they had a mobile abortion bus that was offering abortions and vasectomies. Here's what the New York Times had to say. While delegates are in Chicago for next week's Democratic National Convention, they will engage in the typical pageantry and traditions. They'll vote for their nominee, pose for photos with elected officials, and show off their state with cool buttons or themed hats. They will also have the option of getting a free vasectomy or a medication abortion just blocks away. Now, this is because Planned Parenthood took their mobile abortion and vasectomy bus to the Democratic National Convention. Here's what they had to say. It's a way of showcasing how reproductive healthcare providers have had to get creative when operating in or near states like Missouri, which borders Illinois and has a near total abortion ban. There was also another group there in attendance in the lobby that had an 18-foot tall inflatable IUD, an interuterine device, that had been dubbed Frida Womb. So yeah, it was all on for young and old. Well, not really for young, actually. And not so much of the older stuff either, really, because it's a bit of a futureless and barren prospect by the looks of things over at the Democratic National Convention. Now, the first thing I thought when I read about this, aside from the fact of, are they desperately trying to prove J.D. Vance right in the previous remarks he made about the Democrat Party and cat ladies? Because if they are, they're going about it the most effective way possible. Secondly, when Planned Parenthood said that it's their way of showcasing how reproductive healthcare providers have had to get creative when operating in or near states like Missouri, which borders Illinois and has a near total abortion ban, the first thing I thought was, hold on a minute, I thought you were claiming just months ago that the overturning of Roe v. Wade prevented women from getting abortions, but here you are, showing off your despicable new methods of keeping your highly lucrative abortion juggernaut going full steam ahead. This dystopian nightmare vision of the mobile abortion bus that will come to you. And while we're at it, who describes the killing of unborn human beings as an act of quote-unquote showcasing? Showcasing is a descriptor for something that you are proud of. I'll leave you, dear audience, to decide whether or not you think they might have actually chosen the most appropriate word based on their commitment to pro-abortion ideology and to abortion as a type of new liberal sacrament. This particular display of barbarism was so shocking that I've actually seen and heard commentary from people who are not even pro-life, people who are not even of any religious persuasion, who were shocked by this and consider this to be obscene. The fact that the Democrats are so extreme in their pro-abortion ideology and policies that they have no problem at all with an abortion bus and the largest provider of for-profit abortion being associated with their political convention. This is the same organisation, by the way, that will be pumping millions of dollars into the Democratic election campaign. And we all know why big corporations do this in US politics, right? It's because pumping money in secures them favourable political and policy outcomes. The obvious question, of course, that any sane person is going to ask is, where the heck is Planned Parenthood getting all of this money from to splash on Democratic political candidates? That's right. It's coming from the abortion industry. They are the largest provider of for-profit abortion in the world. And if you think about their business model, why wouldn't they splash all this money on the Democrat Party? Tim Walz, the VP candidate, isn't just actively shilling for them, but he has also openly bragged at the podium that his commitment to abortion is so extreme that even Nancy Pelosi told him that it might be a good idea to tone it down. But instead of actually following her advice, he then went and told the whole world that Pelosi had suggested this course of action to him, and then bragged about how he would be ignoring her advice because he's so committed to seeing the expansion of abortion. And Kamala Harris isn't just promoting abortion like they're giving her a commission for every human life ended at a Planned Parenthood facility. Prior to entering the Capitol, while she was a DA, she actively worked to silence an independent journalist who produced undercover video evidence that Planned Parenthood was illegally selling the body parts of its abortion victims. And she did this by prosecuting him, the journalist, the guy who exposed the illegal and barbaric practices that they were engaging in. But I don't know, he's the one who has to be punished. That's where Kamala's commitments lie. Here's the thing. There is nothing caring about a trip to the mobile death bus so you can anonymously end the life of your children or the future of your fertility. This is the dystopian perversity of Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, not the safe, legal and rare mantra that liberals claim to be so committed to. This is abortion, expansion and extremism writ large. Yet this is coming from the same political party claiming that it cares about the poor and vulnerable. The same party which claims to be more humane than the other guys. Nope, they're definitely not that. The other party might have a history of engaging in immoral foreign wars for corporate interests, but the Democrats are the party of domestic brutality. They've turned corporatized killing on their own people to such a scale that it now kills approximately 1 million unborn US children every single year. And the Republicans might have a problem with economic policies that allow the strong to advantage themselves off the backs of the vulnerable, but so do the Democrats with their unabashed pro-abortionism. If they really did care, they would actually be invested in the hard work of helping families in these situations instead of rabidly promoting and celebrating the violence of abortion and working hard to ensure more and more women are put on the speedy and uncaring production line that comes to an end, a rather brutal end, in every Planned Parenthood abortion facility. And please, spare me the dishonest propaganda about respecting individual choice. Not only is that a call for moral and empathetic indifference to the victimization and hardship of others, it's actually much easier to pretend it's about letting people make their own choices than it is to admit that you just don't actually care enough about finding better outcomes or investing the time, effort and resources into more humane options to the pressures that coerce women into the waiting arms of the abortion peddlers. But what about all the individual choices that are robbed from every single unborn child killed by a Planned Parenthood abortionist? Where's your commitment to choice there? No, this isn't about choice. Your ideology is a moral absurdity if you are trying to claim that destroying all of the individual rights and choices of an innocent human being can be justified as an act of upholding individual rights and choices. And just to add to the vacuousness of such morally deficient rhetoric, these are commonly the exact same people who also actively and often illegitimately and with extreme zealousness policed the bodies of US citizens during the very recent COVID panic, including Tim Walz, by the way, who operated a Dobbin Your Neighbour hotline when he was governor. Yet as of 2 weeks ago, and now that it's about abortion and not a respiratory virus, he is now claiming that he's all about minding your own business and letting people do what they want with their bodies. So on top of the vacuousness and the moral deficiency, they're not even consistent. There is no principle operating here. There is just raw, unabashed power of the strong over the vulnerable. In a nutshell, having a mobile death clinic which brings an end to the fertility of human persons and hands out chemicals for legalized DIY backstreet abortions that's in attendance at your political convention tells us everything we need to know about your political ideology. It is sterile. It is violent. It is evil. It is futureless. This is the new human sacrifice practiced by the believers in liberalism and technocracy in the hopes of a bountiful future. What makes this all the more tragic is seeing certain Christians of all stripes and flavours trying to claim that followers of Christ could actually support this particular political movement. I get it. There are plenty of reasons to find Trump off-putting and to even say, I'm not going to vote for that guy. And even though their policy is far less extreme, there are also strong critiques that can and should be made about the latest changes to the Republican Party policies on abortion. But this isn't about Trump or the Republicans. This is about Christian integrity. And Christ is abundantly clear. If you truly love him, you will obey his commands. And Christ could not be any more precise and succinct that this means, first of all, obeying all of the commandments, which includes the commandment, thou shalt not kill. It involves loving your neighbour and respecting this moral imperative as the second most important commandment after the commandment to love God with all your heart. And this commandment also includes your unborn neighbour. And it also involves us recognising that whatever we do to the least amongst us, the most vulnerable, we are doing to Jesus himself. Christ could not have been any clearer about all of this. And yet we still have certain Christians who are trying to have their death cake and eat it too. The equivocation on this is truly diabolical. And invoking the consistent ethic of life, by the way, sometimes called the seamless garment, doesn't actually work either. Because if a candidate or party is actively promoting the killing of innocent human beings and pledging to advance and grow such an evil, then their entire policy plank is corrupted. It has been made rotten to the core by that very demonic and evil and barbaric policy and practice that they are endorsing and seeking to expand. You cannot build a political manifesto on the foundation of such evil as the killing of unborn children and then try and claim that everything else you do for human beings who manage to survive such brutality makes you a really humane and caring political party. It would be like saying that you're a party that's pro-choice on the question of slavery. And if you manage to escape the gauntlet of slavery, then hey, they've got lots of humane policies in store for you. No amount of welfare housing, free healthcare and sound environmental policies can undo the evil of actively working to build a nation on the back of the state-sanctioned, industrial-scale killing of innocent human beings. It just could not be any clearer than that. Arguing otherwise is like trying to suggest that supporting Hitler and the Nazis would have been permissible because even though they had all that racial hatred and a policy of active genocide, they were also dedicated to animal welfare, which they were, by the way, and lifting millions of Germans out of hardship and poverty. The moment any party declares that it will be actively supporting the killing of innocent human beings is the exact same moment that party is violating the consistent ethic of life. Your ethic is not consistent if you are willing to turn a blind eye and give your vote to a politician or party who is actively engaged in promoting, protecting, or advancing the killing of innocent human beings of any age and any stage. It is just that simple. That's not a consistent ethic of life if you're doing that. That's just indifference to grave injustice. You've turned a blind eye to a grave evil so that you can then support other policies which you happen to think are good and favourable. Meanwhile, behind your back, one of the gravest and most horrific human death tolls is being carried out as a direct result of the exact same politicians and party that you are supporting. And this is drawn all the more starkly into contrast when you consider that your vote is the only and the most powerful means that you actually have in your possession to actually stop a politician or political party from doing such evil things. No, there is no consistent ethic of life in turning a blind eye to grave, evil, and deadly violence perpetrated against innocent human beings when it comes time to casting your vote in the ballot box. One of the most telling moments for me at the DNC happened about a day or so back when someone who was a guest speaker got up and read out a poem that they had written called Our Kingdom Come. And I thought to myself, man, this speaks volumes about the nature of what's actually going on here. This is not thy kingdom come or your kingdom come, as in God's kingdom come, a kingdom of love, compassion, mercy, care for the vulnerable, care for the least amongst us, and respect for the profound imago Dei, the image of God that every person reflects and which demands our respect. No, this was their kingdom come. A kingdom built on a foundation of dead unborn children and people who have been deceived into the slavery of abandoning their birthright, their very fertility, for the sake of hedonism or some other fleeting and lifeless ambition. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, live by goodness, truth, and beauty, not by lies. And I'll see you next time on The Dispatches.
When the foreign ships arrive, you feel the danger. You feel what's inside. You feel the stranger. Forgetting you were a stranger. You are a stranger. Now you are. A shotgun to the head. What you've become now. A shotgun to the head. It wasn't my fault, it wasn't my fault, it wasn't my fault. Set the shotgun to the head. Was it my fault, was it my fault, was it my fault. Set the shotgun to the head.